And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch. And of course, Joe Barner across the way. And Joe, this
last
is the last day of October 2025. You know, I think so many times I said, here it is, the last day. We'll never see October 31st, 2025 ever again. It's all over with.
Yeah.
And we move right on along with a brand new month and a brand new day starting tomorrow. So, you know, it amazes me sometimes how time just flies on by and just days are gone. So
it does. I know some senior citizens used to tell me that time accelerates as you get older.
I believe it.
And I'm finding in my little taste of senior citizenry
well,
that is true. Time does fly.
Even hitting 50, I'm sitting here thinking, where is this year gone to?
Yeah.
It just like it has went so fast. And I think, too, we live in such a fast-paced world. Everything just – we're going constantly all the time, so.
Well, one thing, we're going to be slowing down time, what my mother-in-law used to call going back to slow time.
Slow time.
Saturday evening, about 2 a.m. I usually try to do that before I go to bed Saturday evening.
So that means it'll get darker early, right?
Yeah, it'll be dark a little bit after 5.
Yep.
But it'll be light a little earlier in the morning.
In the mornings. So, yeah, get ready for it. So things are going to change a little bit. So anyway.
Well, today's Halloween. It's also many churches use as an outreach, and that's what we do at Second Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Use it as a way to make new contacts. We trade some candy for your name and address. We can contact
there you.
But it's a good outreach. And I also want to mention that today we remember what Martin Luther did in 1517.
Mm-hmm.
He nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg in Germany, and that began the Protestant Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing about Martin Luther is he went back to what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. We are saved by faith, by God's grace, through faith alone.
Yeah.
And it's always good
sure.
to get back to the basics of how are we saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so thanks, Martin Luther.
There you go. Yeah, thank you.
Well, this morning we're going to launch into the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy.
Oh, Deuteronomo.
Deuteronomy.
Well, I call it Deuteronomo, so.
Well, I had a dear friend who always said it Deuteronomy.
It's hard for some folks, it's hard to say.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, we'll make it through it.
Yeah. We'll do our best to say it right.
That's it.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 18:30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him." Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones observes, "When did you last hear someone praying for revival, praying that God might open the windows of heaven and pour out His Spirit? When did you last pray for that yourself? I suggest seriously that we are neglecting this almost entirely. We are guilty of forgetting the authority of the Holy Spirit. When God sends revival, He can do more in a single day than in 50 years of all our organization. This is the verdict of sheer history, which emerges clearly from the long story of the church. Are we praying for revival? I am. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just a real positive influence to keep our mindset where it should be and focused on God and loving others.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
To exalt King Jesus, missionary radio.
And welcome back, of course, to the front porch. Joe, let's mention real quick that we have podcast available on our website for the front porch and, of course, Ministry Spotlight.
Which is simply because the CDs, we used to make CDs at the front porch, and that just got too expensive to mail.
Yes.
But now that technology has advanced, you can listen to a front porch anytime, anywhere.
That's right. On our website, missionary.radio, just go to podcast. You can also listen on Spotify, Amazon Podcast, and Apple Podcast as well.
All right.
So a lot of places, Joe.
Very accessible.
There you go.
Well, today, Brian, we launch into a month-long study into the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy.
Okay.
Which is a series of sermons from Moses to the Israelites just before they began the conquest of the land that God had promised to them. I like the way Max Lucado likens the words of Moses on this occasion to a situation that some of you might have experienced, or some of you will. I'm looking at you, and you'll understand in a moment. Either launching your children off to college or leaving them, or having them leave home for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He described it this way: inside the house is a quiet bedroom. Last spring's prom photo sits on the bedside table. A dried homecoming mum hangs from the bulletin board. Outside the house is a packed car. Both trunk and seat are full of clothes, books, and stereo. What was in the room is now in the car.
Mm-hmm.
The one who used to live in the room is about to drive that car to college. Both parent and child are stunned by the moment. What happened to childhood?
Yeah.
Who fast-forwarded the years?
Mm.
Why, just yesterday, the child was filling the house with cartwheels and Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm.
And now look, he's so tall, she's such a beauty. The child has grown.
Yeah.
The grown child is equally stunned. The road ahead looks lonely and long. There's safety in these walls, protection, security. And those pleas for independence so recently voiced are unheard today. Just say the word, Dad, and I'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask me, Mom, I won't leave.
Yeah.
But Mom and Dad know better. They know that love releases the one who is loved. They know the training is over. The last bell has rung. The class is dismissed. And so parent and child hesitate at the side of the car. There's no time to teach new truths. There's no time to instill values or lay foundations. There's only one word that can be said: remember.
Mm.
Remember who loves you. Remember what matters.
Right.
Remember what is right and what is wrong. Seems I recall counsel of this nature, even though it was years ago. Remember what we've taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember whose child you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Max Lucado continues his introduction to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, through the last words of Moses, God tells his children to remember. Israel is about to make a transition. God wants them to stay faithful, stay distinctive. For 40 days, Moses teaches the words you are about to read. God repeats what he has already taught. Deutero means second. And numos, or nomos, means law. Deuteronomy is the second hearing of the law for a whole new generation. God didn't want them to forget. And the Holman commentary adds this insight to the introduction of Deuteronomy, which, by the way, is the source for the three statements from Jesus when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Do you remember how Jesus resisted the evil one?
Mm-hmm. Telling him to get behind him.
And he said, it is written.
It's written.
And every time he quoted something that's written,
mm-hmm.
it was from the book of Deuteronomy.
Yep.
Well, it's also important to note that the New Testament writers quote or allude to this Old Testament book nearly 200 times, making it one of the most referenced volumes of Hebrew Scripture. But back to what the Holman commentary said about Deuteronomy, it's a book for believers who are living on the edge of a hostile culture. Can we relate?
Yes, we can.
Just as Israel was about to face the challenge of living in a land occupied by idolatrous and pagan peoples, modern Christians in the West must learn to live in cultures that are hostile toward their faith. And may I add these words, increasingly hostile. Well, by giving exclusive loyalty to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the believer can maintain a distinctive identity in a culture that seems determined to destroy or reshape his convictions.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first four chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses...
See, even Joe's having trouble now.
it's early in the day.
Yeah.
Moses retraces the journeys of Israel since the Lord God had brought them out of Egypt 40 years previous. And he reminds them of the wondrous things the Lord has done for them. He reminds them of their failing. He says, remember when you complain?
Yeah.
All those different times, mm-hmm. Their rebellion against leadership and against the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, we must remember that this is a whole new generation since the one that refused to trust in the Lord to give them the land he had promised them gave in to their fear, and because of their refusal to believe God's word, they died day after day, week after week, and year after year as they wandered round and round and round in the wilderness until that older generation died off, except for two men, Joshua and Caleb. They were the spies that said, we can take them.
Mm-hmm.
They are bred before us with the Lord on our side. We're assured of the victory. And by the way, before we get to the content we're supposed to cover, Deuteronomy 4, the end of chapter 3, we talked about this a little bit last week, gives us a deeper insight into Moses being forbidden to enter the promised land with the Israelites. You remember that incident when the people of Israel were crying out to Moses for water? Water, water, water.
Water, yeah.
And Moses was told by the Lord to hold your staff in your hand and speak to the rock.
Speak to the rock, yep.
Well, instead, he was at the end of his patience, and he struck the rock in anger twice to provide water for the thirsty Israelites and almost growled at them, saying, must we bring you water? Well, that was stealing the glory from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Drawing the attention that belonged to the Lord, who was going to bring water out of that rock.
Yep.
And it focused it on Moses.
Yes.
And the Lord is very jealous His glory.
Yes.
It seems Moses did actually appeal to the Lord for him to reconsider his punishment for his indiscretion, which was he wouldn't get to see the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And in this passage, he appealed to the Lord until the Lord said, Moses, I'm tired of hearing about it. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Tired of it.
Let's read what Moses had to say about that in Deuteronomy 3, 21 through 28.
And I commanded Joshua at the time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord to do all the kingdoms through which you pass. You may not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me on this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see.
So one thing in these verses, we find Moses encouraging his successor, mm-hmm. who would be Joshua.
Joshua, yeah.
And his message to Joshua was this, don't be afraid of the people of the land. The Lord will mm-hmm. fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like telling him the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
And that's something that we need to tell ourselves.
Right, that's right. Remember, it's not ours,
yeah,
but we turn it over to him.
It's his battle.
His battle.
Although the Lord encourages us to be bold in our prayers and even persistent,
mm-hmm.
there may be times when he may tell us, enough.
Enough.
And I think this could be a reminder that God doesn't always have to cater to our whims. He had already spoken to Moses.
Yes.
And Moses was not going to get to go into the land with the Israelites, but he could see it
mm-hmm.
from Mount Pisgah. And although he only got a glimpse, his words would be with the Israelites, ringing in their hearts and minds. Remember, remember, remember what happened. Remember what I've told you, the words of the Lord. You know, Moses was trying to counteract one of Satan's most effective strategies to make believers remember what we should forget and to forget what we should remember. We are prone to do that.
Oh, yes.
To remember what we should forget.
Yep.
And to forget what we should remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have that sometimes. An old song or old phrase just pops in your mind.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. Where did they come from? It just gets on your mind, and you know you.
And those are times when you would like to forget.
Yes. Yes.
But it pops up in there.
Yep.
And then there are other things that we should remember that we find easy to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Moses' point was that if God's people don't remember their past sins and rebellions against the Lord, they can easily repeat them, falling into the same sinful patterns and traps. It's kind of a spiritual twist on that old saying, those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We'll pick up in Deuteronomy chapter 4 here on Missionary Radio, your local community Christian station, after Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for all you do at Missionary Radio. We need the love and light in this dark world that you share every day. I still enjoy listening for over a decade now. From Madisonville, thanks to each of you for bringing God's Word to my home 24/7. It is a blessing to have this, and I thank God for you all and those who have and continue to support Missionary Radio. God bless. From Dixon, Tennessee, Missionary Radio has blessed my life for many years. It has touched my life and so many others with programs and music that lift up our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
Yeah, so much to be thankful for.
Okay, all right, just making sure I got it right. So
that's preparing our minds for Thanksgiving. It's coming. It's next month, soon be this month.
Yeah.
Because this is the last day of this month.
Yeah, you're right, Joe.
And tomorrow we'll be in a new month, Thanksgiving
Brand
month.
Brand new, yeah.
Of course, we should give Thanksgiving every day.
Every day, yes.
The Lord is good.
Yes, He is.
Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Moses offered a challenge to the Israelites and also a warning, a reminder.
Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who follow Baal of Peor. But you, who held fast to the Lord your God, are alive today, every one of you.
So in verses 1 and 2, the challenge presented to the people by the Lord was this, to listen and to heed the words the Lord had given him to tell them. That's important all through Scripture.
Yes.
Remember a number of the parables that Jesus told, he who has ears to hear, Let him hear.
Let him hear.
Or let her hear.
Yep.
Well, the challenge was to obey the words of the Lord, because for the Israelites, their physical life and death would depend on their obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And for us as well, our spiritual life and death depend on obedience to the words of the Lord.
Yes.
And for the Israelites, if they didn't have the blessing of the Lord upon them, they would soon suffer great losses as they attempted to claim the land that God had promised to give them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Moses gave them an example. If you back up to chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, Brian, it happened when they decided against hearkening to the courageous words of Caleb and Joshua that they could take the land in the Lord's strength. They followed instead the 10 spies who were chicken-hearted. In Deuteronomy 1, 41 through 45, Moses recounted a foolhardy attempt to take the territory without the Lord's blessing and protection.
Then you answered and said to me, "We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us." And whenever one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, "Tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies." So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountain. And the Amorites who dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and drove you back from Seir to Hormah. When you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you.
I've never been in combat, but I can relate to being chased by a swarm of bees.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It happened, we had a tornado on the family farm.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yes.
Around Memorial Day.
Uh-huh.
And knocked over. Rachel's two brothers are beekeepers.
Yes.
And it knocked over some of the bees.
Mm-hmm.
And they were angry.
That was hostile.
And so Rachel's brothers had their bee suits on, and they were trying to set the bee houses back up.
Sure.
And I was some distance away, but I kept hearing, you know, I'd walk down to kind of try to get close to what they were doing, and hear them, "Get back, get back." About that time, this bee started swarming around my head.
Uh-huh.
And they like to get your head.
Ooh.
For some reason.
Mm.
And I did get stung once.
Yeah.
But they got stung even a number of times through their bee suits. So I can relate to being chased by a swarm of bees.
Yeah.
Well, their obedience to God's word, you know, in this case, they went up without the Lord's blessing,
yeah,
without the Lord's presence with them, thinking mm-hmm. that we can do it, we can take them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got chased by the Amorites like a swarm of bees.
Mm.
And their obedience to God's word was even more important than military strategy or weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, as we move back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses warned the people in verse 2 of two great dangers: adding to God's word or taking away from it. Read verse 2 of Deuteronomy 4 again, Brian.
"You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you."
How might God's people add to the word of the Lord?
Just by making up things and adding to it that's not factual, that's not in the book. You know, even through the years, Joe, I've heard sayings, and I'm like, and most of them will say, "That's in the Bible." And you go search it, and you're like, "That's not in the Bible."
Like the old cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yeah, that's not in there.
Or the Lord helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, and you're sitting there thinking, what? You know, that's adding to something
uh-huh.
that's not here, so.
And sometimes we're tempted to make the traditions of men or take the opinions of men and women as equal
mm-hmm.
to the Word of God. We might take passages out of context and use the Word of God to support our opinions or mm-hmm. our traditions.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call that a proof text.
Mm-hmm.
adding to the Word of God also leads to the type of legalism that Jesus encountered when he walked this earth. The Pharisees added untold regulations to the Word of the Lord. Now, how might we turn away from, how might we take away from God's Word?
Just by not obeying, I would say. If we're not obeying the Word, we're taking away from it.
Yeah. Sometimes we might try to explain away passages that make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We can be pretty good at rationalizing things.
That's true. That's true.
And through the years, some people have even rejected certain biblical authors or books. But God said, do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it.
Yeah.
But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. This is a sobering warning similar to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. It's found in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Let me read it for you. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. Mm-hmm. If anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in the scroll. God is very jealous for his word.
Yes, he is.
He wants his word to stand strong.
Yes.
And someone has said it this way, the believer's authority is God's word. Mm-hmm. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing else.
Right.
The challenge for us is to be people of God's word, just as the challenge for Israel was to be people of God's word. Well, we'll pick up more challenges from Moses to the people of Israel from Deuteronomy chapter 4 after Johnny Erickson taught us sharing hope here on Missionary Radio, your community Christian station.
Hi, I'm John Erickson Tata. If you know this favorite hymn, sing along. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Don't you love that line? All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Wow. It's as Philippians chapter 4 says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. God has provided all that I need. Do you believe that? Are you like that? Are you content in every situation? God thinks you can be. You should be. Do you believe all that you need God has already provided? Do I feel like I have all I need? Well, it makes me think, what do I have? Well, I do not have use of my hands. I do not have use of my legs or sense of touch to feel my husband holding my hand. But I do have a voice. I've got a wheelchair to get me around. I've got a husband who loves me. And that, according to the Lord, is all I need. For as the hymn says, if there was anything more I needed, he would have given it to me. So I guess the real question is, am I using what I have? Am I thankful for it? God never gives you or me a task without supplying the need. His command never comes without his empowering. His calling is always his enabling. It's taken me a long, long time to feel content with my paralysis, my pain, but I'm honest enough to know that if I lose more, if my circumstances become more challenging than they already are, if my situation, you know, maybe with cancer, my lungs, I don't know, becomes worse,
I'm honest enough to say, yes, it will be a hard test of my faith. And I have to ask myself, am I prepared to lose what few abilities I have? I'd like to think I'm prepared, that my faith is strong enough, but I don't know. And I guess I'll have to wait for that test to come. And it definitely will come. As my physical hardships encroach, it will be a litmus test of my contentment. But looking to the future, I pray. I desire to be like Job, who said of God, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Job was prepared to remain content in the God of the Bible, even to the point of death. To be honest, when I look at the future, I get scared. I know my health's not going to last forever, so my calling is not only to abandon my future desires, but to trust in God and hand over what I already possess. The secret of contentment is wrapped up in simple gratitude for what God has already provided you and me, for right now and for the future. Great is God's faithfulness. He has supplied all that we need. Believe it today, would you? Because your Lord is really that faithful.
The What an Awesome God Carathon has come to a close at What an Awesome God We Serve. To everyone who prayed, volunteered, and gave, we want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Your generosity, your prayers, and your partnership mean the world to us. Because of your faithfulness, Missionary Radio continues to proclaim the truth that the world needs King Jesus. But maybe you meant to give and time just got away from you. Good news, it's not too late. Every gift, large or small, still makes a lasting difference in keeping Christian Radio strong and reaching hearts every day across our region. Carathon season continues, and you can give safely and easily online at missionary.radio. Just click donate or call us at 877-885-9655. And of course, you may mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Together, let's keep declaring to a world in need what an awesome God we serve.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
We are in Deuteronomy chapter 4. We just finished talking about what the Lord said through Moses to the people. He said, "Do not add to what I command you, do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." And that's the way we are to approach the Word of God. We're not to add to it or to take away.
Right.
There's also a warning in Deuteronomy chapter 4 in verses 3 and 4. You read those verses a little while ago, but since it's been a little bit, let's look at them again.
"Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God is destroyed from among you all the men who follow Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you."
Yeah, for the Israelites, when Moses mentioned that incident, the history was all too recent, all too fresh.
Mm-hmm.
We covered it last week when we looked at Numbers 25. It was one of those rather ugly chapters of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
When some of the men of Israel lusted after the women of Midian and committed adultery with them, as well as worshiping the false god Baal. And the result of the worship of idols and sexual sin was that 24,000 of them died by the plague. And no doubt, when Moses was speaking to the people, some of the families were still grieving the loss of some family member.
Mm-hmm.
Lifeway's writer put it this way, "The lesson could not have been plainer. Those who remained faithful were still alive today, and those who were not faithful to God were gone."
Mm-hmm.
Well, the warning was to keep themselves pure morally, and to not give in to the temptation to worship any god other than the one true God. And if they heeded this warning, Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, they would be a witness and an example to the surrounding nations.
"Surely I've taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?
You know, following God's moral principles would make the Israelites stand out among the nations. Mm-hmm. Their neighbors would see that they were blessed and they were flourishing, and they would wonder why. And as they looked a little closer, they said, well, it's because of God's blessing mm-hmm. on them. Mm-hmm. They would witness the nearness of God to them in verse 7. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him?
Yeah.
You know, whereas God is close to his people who pray to him, the Bible tells us he's close to the brokenhearted. He calls on his people to pray to him, to come boldly to the throne of grace. But the people who worship false gods try vainly to appease them.
Mm-hmm.
They call out to gods who cannot even hear their voices and their desperation. I think of Elijah on Mount Carmel mm-hmm. when he challenged the prophets of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
And they called on Baal, called on him. And Elijah yeah. had fun making, you know, he had a good mm-hmm. time making fun of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Lord God sent down fire. Mm-hmm. To burn up the sacrifice, even though they had totally soaked it with water ahead of time. Verse 8 reminds us how blessed we are to have God's words. What other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws that I'm setting before you today? You know, what might that verse say to us? Well, still, to some degree, we are blessed in our nation to have many of our laws based
True.
On the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And we're blessed to have multiple copies of God's Word on our shelves.
Yes.
Think about it, Brian, when we have Bible drives here at Missionary Radio,
mm-hmm.
we're challenged. Look on your shelves. See if there's some Bibles there.
There you go.
Unused Bibles to give to those who don't have them.
Yes.
And most of us, well, thanks to the Bible drives,
mm-hmm.
pretty much all the Bibles on my shelves get used.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
But, you know, we're blessed to have so many copies of God's words.
Yes.
The Bible that I carry to church is one that I bought very slightly used on Amazon years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
And the forward page was given to someone called Grandson Philip.
Okay.
From Grandma Joan on March 26, 2002.
Yeah.
And when I see that opening page on occasion, I'm reminded to pray for Philip.
Yeah.
Wherever he is today.
Mm-hmm.
His grandma prayed this prayer over him based on Numbers chapter 6. She said, "May God bless you and keep you. May he smile upon you and grant you peace. May you grow in the knowledge of him and ever seek to please him above all others." And signed it, "Love, Grandma."
Mm.
You know, I can't help but wonder whether he sold that Bible by mistake or whether he sold it as an act of rebellion against the Lord.
Who knows?
I pray he's come to realize the blessing
yes.
of a godly grandma.
Yes.
You know, with such a heritage of faith as I have enjoyed and many of you listening have enjoyed, and even grandson Philip may have enjoyed,
yeah.
Moses returns to the theme of much of Deuteronomy, and he says, remember the lessons of the history of the nation of Israel, and most of all, remember to love and follow the Lord your God, and don't neglect to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't neglect to pass your faith on to your children. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9.
"Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren."
You know, Moses returned to that idea in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through 9 that we'll look at next week.
Okay.
With a challenge to teach and to live out God's word and pass the worship of God on to our children. Turn over to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, Brian. I'm working you hard again.
4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently, your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes.
And write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Yep.
You know, passing along our faith is like running a relay race. Ann Graham Lotz recently wrote this, winning a relay race depends not only on the speed of the runners, but also on their skillful ability to transfer the baton. You ever watched a relay race and someone dropped it?
Oh, yes. I've seen some clips.
And if that baton is dropped, precious seconds are wasted,
yep,
and the race may be lost.
Mm-hmm.
If the runner fails to pass the baton, he's disqualified from the race altogether. In the race of life, the baton is the truth that leads to personal faith in God. Each generation receives that baton from the previous generation, runs the race to the best of their ability, and then passes the baton smoothly and securely to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
We must strive to relay the baton of truth that leads to personal faith in God that's been handed down to generation after generation since creation. It's important to pass on that baton of faith,
yes,
to our children, because
yes,
someone said, you know, our Christian faith is really only one generation away from extinction.
That's it.
Moses closes his sermon in chapter 4 with a warning against worshiping false gods. And also he talks about that in chapter 4, 23 and 24, Brian.
23 and 24. Deuteronomy
4.
Okay. Take heed to yourselves, lest forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God.
And then as we looked at some selected verses from the remainder of chapter 4, we find that Moses foresaw a time when Israel would indeed worship other gods. But he reminded them of the Lord's mercy in verses 29 through 31. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. Thank you, Lord, that you are a merciful, that you are a forgiving God. Help us to pass on our faith to those who may come after us and follow in our footsteps. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch. Have a blessed day.